All right, man. There that goes. That is podcast audio recording. And let's go ahead and get this up and or running. And that 3, 2, 1. And that's YouTube video recording along with podcast audio. All right. So, Wine Cellar 2019. Some shit will be different. Right? Like, this program, I started this thing in 2012. And I was, what, 15 to 30 minute programs. And it expanded, started doing the 2 hour programs. And then Phoenix and I, we got so into talking to each other, we would just fucking go for 3 hours. We were just doing 3 hour programs regularly for a couple of months. And then kind of scaled it back 2 hours and would do 3 hours sometimes. And then, you know, fucking niggas got busy. Niggas got real busy with life and trying to have some personal relax time. So we just did these hour-long programs. So where I want to deliberately move with the program, because the program has always moved with life. Now I want to make life move with the program. So I'm going to literally make changes in how I'm living my personal life for the program, because I want to put out a lot of short segments. So I think maybe we're missing people, right? Like, there are news stories that we think are interesting and that Phoenix does a darn good job doing follow-up on that folks are missing because they're buried in these episodes. And folks might just look at the title and be like, you know, like it might be a story about like trans lives or transphobia. And someone may look at that title and be like, you know, that that's not something I'd click on. And they go click on something else and then they miss, you know, like a legislative story that's in the episode, but it's not the main topic to us. You know, so I actually want to I want to split those up more and have more like short, you know, 5-7 minute things that we upload individually, and then every week do a long form episode. All right. And the long form episode idea, we want to sort of have these, you know, our free thought conversation style interviews with folks that we've done, you know, folks that have been running for office, a pornography performer, sex worker that we had on the program. They do like the, I think it's called bondage. If I remember right, I don't really know these genres that well, but I think it's the bondage business where they do all the fancy business with the ropes and whatnot, and they do all those funky knots. Yeah, they do all the funky knots. All right, so they do all that stuff, and had that individual on free thought conversation style interview. You know, we recently did the last episode that we did of the year was the coalition building episode. All right, so those things I'd like to do every Sunday and release one long form a week, and the rest of the week short individual split up stories, so that those things, like those stories that get buried, can get more exposure, can get more shine, you know. And and something else, man, it's finally gonna happen. I'm fucking doing it this time. There will be Patreon only content, which I think will mostly be raps, you know, like I'm pretty nice on the mic. Like when I sit down and write, focus, get with it. Yeah, I'm pretty nice on the mic, and I'd like to share that art with you father muckers under Patreon only shit. And like more discussion. I think I'll do more rap-splaining under Patreon only. I think rap-splaining is missing a lot. And to do that, I'll have less of like myself time. Like every day I try to have at least like 90 minutes. That's just like, this is my time off work, you know, sort of away from doing chores and household and whatnot. Just 90 minutes of just my time where I'm, you know, look at some shit on the YouTube or the Netflix or something, play some records, you know, have, you know, smoke a square, you know, I'm getting rid of most of that time. They're not going to be a whole bunch of my time anymore. That will now be Wine Cellar time. All right, that's what's going to be going on there. You know, And we got to give it up to folks, because there are folks that make the wine cellar. The wine cellar couldn't exist as is on just, you know, Phoenix and I's income coming into the household. You know, there are folks that hold it the fuck down. And, like, folks that subscribe to the Patreon, recent ones. One of them, I got to remember to put this in the soundboard. Somebody that signed up to the Patreon, their name on the Patreon is, yes, Cuban B. Which is, that's one of those moments, from a movie. It's, and the film it's from is called Half Baked. It's an old, reefer smoker film. And the actor Thurgood Marshall, not a comedic actor, which makes it even funny. Cause when dramatic actors do comedic roles, you basically, you get the comedy lines with this extra delivery. And he's holding a gun to the guy's head, you know, going to take him hostage. And he's like, I've got your little Mexican friend. And the guy was like, oh, I'm Cuban B. And he said, yes, Cuban B. Like, it was his name, you know, so that's fucking dope. Patty tweets, holding it the fuck down. Killing Georgina, holding it the fuck down. There's Margaret Loco over there. You know, niggas is holding it down. That's recently on the Patreon, recently on the PayPal. I think I would pronounce this Chato came through, Jessica Drake, damn good, individual for sex workers' rights came through, and, Jessica Drake actually has, like, a website and, like, sex education and shit, and I have one of the pins for that website, but I don't have it anymore, because I lost it at work, so somebody has a Jessica Drake sex education pin somewhere at my job. Phoenix Pedro came through. Wendy Grangs, Norman W, Mary H came through. Nora, Ian Lane. I don't want to mess up your name. I think that says Ian. Don Dunks, Cougar Dunks, Natalie Loco. You know, niggas coming through. Deneen. You know, Carmen Loco, you know, niggas is, Kimberly Loco, Audrey Loco, yeah, niggas coming through, Debbie Loco, you know, December, y'all niggas came the fuck through. You actually brought fucking Christmas to this household. All right, but what we do, it is still the wine cellar, and that was a whole lot of riffing, and, yeah, 2019 is gonna be a fothermucker for the wine cellar. I will not be cooling out much for myself. I will be on these stories, all right? So, Roxana Hernandez Rodriguez, all right, had deep bruises on her body and died of dehydration in, this was found in an independent autopsy. So, who is Roxana Hernandez? A transgender asylum seeker who died in ICE custody and was beaten. All right. This is what's going on. This is coming off of the Huffington Puffington Post website. All right. she was a 33-year-old individual. And they're showing that she was marked by deep bruises and contusions. Which I did not know. I thought that bruises and contusions were the same thing. So, both of those things. And it says that these deep bruises and contusions, all right, were consistent with blows, like punches and or kicks, and possible strikes with a blunt motherfucking object. All right, that information came from the Washington Post on Monday. All right, now, her wrist also showed signs of extensive hemorrhaging, which the report said was typical of handcuff injuries. The autopsy also showed that, that Hernandez endured physical assault and abuse while in custody, all right, and this came from the, Transgender Law Center in California. And they have some links here, and they're going to be filing a wrongful death lawsuit against ICE and some other federal immigration agencies on behalf of her family. All right. The report also shows that Hernandez was HIV positive and died from severe complications of dehydration exacerbated by the HIV infection. That's why that's relevant. That sort of thing. You got to watch when you know, news outlets put a detail in there like that. Like, oh, and they had it because in that, you know, they're trying to play it. Well, you know that community, that's how they do. And it's like, no, like that exacerbated the dehydration. So that's why that detail is relevant. All right. So that's not just like a transphobic, homophobic detail. That's a, hell, it's biological, scientific, if you will. Surprise, surprise, ICE disputed the autopsy findings. Spokeswoman Danielle Bennett spoke to the Daily Beast and said that the agency could not speak to the validity of the private autopsy, but said allegations that Hernandez was abused in federal custody are false. A review of Hernandez's death conducted by ICE, they reviewed themselves, by ICE Health Service Corps, medical professionals confirmed that she suffered from a history of untreated HIV. At no time did the medical personnel treating Ms. Hernandez at Cibola General Hospital or Lovelace Medical Center raise any issues of suspected physical abuse. So we just say, nah, we don't think we did it. And the people that, I like that, our personal medical professionals that work for us said no. While your independent medical professionals that are privately contracted said, yeah. Huh. There's a bias somewhere in here. All right. Now that's what's going on. I have a gang of shit backed up on here. Also interesting. I don't know much about this individual. Somebody named, Tiffany Haddish. I don't really know who this is. You know, I watched a television program a couple days ago where somebody did an impression of her, but I don't even know if the impression was good because I don't really know Tiffany Haddish. But apparently, Essence Magazine caught up with some recent commentary from Tiffany Haddish, a performance artist, to my understanding. And she was on a comedy tour. Okay. And and she made a stop on her comedy tour and took to Instagram and uploaded a video of herself accepting a sleeveless raccoon fur jacket as a gift from one of her generous fans. Oh, that's fresh. In giving a shout out and a thank you to the unknown fashion donor, Tiffany Haddish made a few bold statements aimed at the animal bias organization, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I think that's PETA. And she said, quote, "I'm about to start protesting. I'm going to wear fur every day until they stop killing black people. When the police stop killing black people, I'll stop wearing fur. It's my new protest." And that's from Tiffany Haddish in a video. I actually think we can probably pull up the audio here if I know technology well enough. Let's see if we can't do that. All right, we'll go to my old little Facebook saved list here. And here we are on the Essence. And this looks like this should be it. Here we are.
Hey guys, it's me, Tiffany Haddish. And I just want to give a shout out and a thank you to one of my fans that were here at the Comedy Store tonight who gave me this beautiful jacket. Now, she wasn't planning on it, but she said she loved me. And I was like, if you really love me, let me have your jacket. And she did. So thank you so much, boo. I'm going to wear it as much as possible because I don't know if you guys noticed about me, but I'm about to start protesting. I'm going to wear fur every day until they stop killing black people. When the police stop killing black people, I'll stop wearing fur. It's my new protest. So sorry, PETA. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at the police. When they stop killing black people, I'll stop wearing fur. See how that go? Because people are important. And so are the animals. To keep me warm. Thank you, boo. I love you for loving me. This little raccoon is so cute. I'm the goodest raccoon.
All right. And again, I'm not particularly familiar with the Tiffany Haddish, but so that's going on. I think that's pretty fresh. That's pretty gangsta. I don't know if there's any updates to that, but you know, we are kind of free flowing at Morning Wine Cellar here, right? It's 3:30 in the a.m. right now, January 2nd, 2019. PETA, Tiffany Haddish. Respond. Let's see if the folks down at PETA responded. Oh, look at these headlines. Jesus Christ. Look at this from BET.com. Tiffany Haddish declares war on PETA and police brutality. Declares war. Come on, niggas. let's see. Twitter drags Tiffany Haddish for forgetting jokes on stage. Well, that's not related at all. Okay, nothing that I'm seeing in my Yahoo search is saying that the PETA folks responded, which is probably, that's a PR, like, not responding at all. I personally find that to be a PR move right there. Don't respond. Nothing you can say will be good. Don't do it. This is one where I'd like to see what Phoenix Kalita thinks. This also from the Huffington Post. It got shared to us by Lisa Loco, who, if folks remember back in 2015, it was really like Phoenix, Lisa, and me, and Fallon would call in sometimes via the Google telephone feature. And yeah, like the Wine Cellar was just us, and we just go to fuck in. You know, but niggas' lives gotta be lived, right? Like Lisa, she's gotta take care of her offspring and work and shit and have family and whatnot. We're over here doing fairly similar, you know. So our sort of mini renaissance of Wine Cellarism, it had to close out naturally. All right, but Lisa Loco shared this and tagged us in it to come check this out. So I think this interesting story. It's off the Huffington Post. The writer is Rain Bennett, and the area of Huffington Post it is in a HuffPost Personal, and the title is "I Told My Trump Supporting Mom I'm Having a Biracial Baby. Here's What Happened." It's already so gross. So they have the excess journalism to open it up, right? In the volatile era of Donald Trump and the transparency created by blah, blah, blah. They personally say, I grew up in eastern North Carolina among conservative farmers. But as a filmmaker, most of my colleagues are liberal artists. All right. So we get it. Nigga, you're related to racists. All right, and as you scroll down, it shows a picture of the couple, cis white man, cis black woman. They're a couple, and an offspring is on the way. And now, here we go. Now they get to the beef of it after the picture in this article. It says, race was never an issue for Maya or me, but she did have to educate me on what life as a black woman is like. This ranged from explaining black hair culture to being the only person of color in a field dominated by white men. She was everything I wanted in a woman. Smart, gorgeous, kind, fun, and most importantly, for me, calm. She was the ice to my fire and changed me for the better as a person. She was definitely the kind of girl, I could have swore she was just a woman, but okay, you would bring home to meet your mother. Before my mom came up to visit, my brother suggested that I might want to tell her Maya was black. He thought she might have a problem with it. I thought he was overreacting. Really, nigga? So, your brothers grew up in the same household under the same people, but somehow you're naive and he's not? Lying motherfucker. You knew it was going to be some shit. You knew it was going to be some shit when you met that black woman and decided to fuck her life up by making her a part of your fucked up shit. You knew what the fuck you were doing. It continues. He thought she might have a problem with it. I thought he was overreacting. It turns out he was right. Really? Again. All right. This shit continues. My mom wasn't rude when she met Maya, but she wasn't her normal sweet self either. Then so she was rude. She was just her version of rude. This nigga is a lying motherfucker. He knows. He gets it. Continuing. I could tell the difference, but Maya had never met her, so she couldn't. Thankfully, we were at an event. I was at an event I was hosting, and Maya and I were too preoccupied to get past formalities with my mom. Regardless, the next morning I woke up early to have coffee with my mom and knew this would be a topic of discussion. She explained that she knew we lived different lives and that I have friends from many different backgrounds and cultures, but this was something new for her that she wasn't prepared for. She did agree that Maya was a great girl. But that only confused me more. It hurt me that I even had to have this conversation. Nigga, you knew. You're not a fucking fool. Continuing. When I asked her exactly what the issue was, she simply replied, quote, "We just didn't do that in my day." Nigga. White women of that day know damn well white men been doing that. Always been doing that. White men put their penises everywhere. All right. Continuing. I told her I understand it was different for her, but that I didn't come from her generation. Shit ain't changed. And that wasn't relevant to how I chose to live my life. I ended the conversation by telling her that I loved her, but she didn't raise me to act like that. The words hit her hard. This is a lying motherfucker. This black woman is caught up in some bullshit. She is. She's caught up in some bullshit. I haven't seen the film Get Out, but black woman, get out. Because that's her son. That's that white woman's son. And whatever, everything that his mother is and all the buttons that his mother installed and knows how to push, that shit's going to activate on your ass. Now, there's a bunch of extra shit in here, you know, like my mom grew up in Southern Baptist, North Carolina during a racially segregated time, and all that's a bunch of extracurricular shit. The main factor is this cat was raised by a racist, knew goddamn well he was raised by a racist. His brother was raised in the same household and didn't try to play naive about it. And now he went and pulled this black woman into his shit. And it's fucked up. It is thoroughly fucked up. I'm scrolling through as I'm riffing, and like I see, like, here's a sentence here that's just gross. I'm excited to raise a biracial child, and I hope her experience with two cultures will help us continue to blur those lines we drew long ago. Nigga, who's we? What line? Ain't no lines we drew. Nigga, it's norms and customs that your folks created and kept in place. Yeah, this is that funny style shit. This is why, nigga, I don't like liberals. I don't fucking like them. All right. Let's see what the hell else I got going on. Remember, Wine Cellar 2019. These longer form episodes are going to be not going away, but kind of shaved down to once a week. And taking a quick look over here. These are the folks over at GayStarNews.com. And Jesus Christ. Obviously, in our year of programming, we did not get to all of these stories. And this headline is really hardcore. This is that trigger warning shit right here, all right? Nigga, like, if need be, turn the program off. Okay, headline, GayStarNews.com. Beheaded, gunned down, and stoned to death. 369 trans people killed this year. Which is more than days in the year, even if it was a fucking leap year. All right. And then this one, it's like, and there's a sub headline says, Trans Day of Remembrance, 28 of the trans murder victims were reported to be teenagers. All right. And apparently Brazil has the most reported trans murders in the world. All right. And I wonder if that's really just because there's less misgendering in the journalism. You know, like, I wonder if, right? And a little more information there. The Trans Day of Remembrance update has seen an increase of 43 cases compared to last year's update and 73 cases compared to 2016. That's the difference in the uptick. Brazil, 167, all right, murders. Mexico, 71. Once again, they lead the list in the most reported killings of trans women and men. The United States has seen 28 trans people killed that we know of, an increase from last year's 25 that we know of. See, so I wonder if the U.S., if you will, just has more misgendering, more staunch misgendering at play, right? Yeah, so shit is fucking greasy, yo. And they have a couple of names to remember here. Naomi Hersey, I remember her. hard to read these names, because they're not like, the names are not like in bold or underlined. They're just like mashed into paragraphs. Yeah, man, I'm gonna save this link and repost this. Yeah, Jesus Christ, man. So definitely more of these, right? And I wonder, like, did some of these stories get buried? Because we might have an episode that is titled for, you know, something some politician did or some wacky white-on-white crime. That might be the episode title. But then inside the episode is, you know, one of these stories. So again, like, I want to split up a lot of these wine cellar segments into mini shows. And I mean, and you know, I could stitch them together and like I could record the miniature ones and post those individually, and then I could stitch them together into an episode if folks would rather just have, you know, one long form play. Because I don't know how you listen to the podcast. Like, maybe you like to play it while you're doing chores and you don't want to have to keep going back and click play on another YouTube video and all that shit. You'd rather just have it play straight through while you're doing chores at the crib, right? Yeah, man. So, something else. Let's take a look here. We have a little bit more. This one. All right. So this some bullshit. Some transphobic, homophobic bullshit that it makes the rounds every once in a while. And for some reason, this post says May 11th, 2018. I know I've seen this more than that. I know I've seen this before 2018. But these internet outlets, they keep reposting it because it's such an easy click, right? And you've probably seen it, right? Where the headline is, sexuality expert says parents should ask for consent to change a baby's diaper, and then it shows a femme looking white person with purple hair. So like, you get that in news feeds that's an easy click, right? And then you get your ad rev, and this time it's the New York Post. And what no one ever does is just watch the video. They ever do. They don't watch the video. They don't read the quotes. Nothing. They never do it. All right. So let's play some audio from this, because they have a YouTube embedded with the person with the purple hair. Let's see. Or here.
This is just superb. And it was on your ABC earlier.
All right. So it's a couple of blokes from the accentuation that you can hear there. All right. And so these blokes, I'm assuming conservative blokes, they're setting up the segment to play her audio.
This is just superb, and it was on your ABC earlier this evening, which you paid for this lefty lunacy. Have a look.
How young are some of the children you talk to?
We work from children from 3 years old. We work with parents from birth.
From birth?
Yep.
All right, so it says, we work with children from three years old and work with parents from birth, right, is what they're saying. Should I knock that volume up a wee taste, right? Like, yeah, let's actually fucking hear it instead of just looking at headlines and then having transphobic, homophobic overreactions.
Some of the children you talk to.
We work from children from 3 years old. We work with parents from birth.
From birth?
Yeah, yeah. Just about how to set up a culture of consent in their home. So I'm going to change your nappy now. Is that okay? Of course, the baby's not going to respond. Yes, Mum, that's awesome. I'd love to have my nappy changed.
See, now she laughed. She was like, I get it. It's an unusual new thought. But like, yeah, just to say that I'm going to. And she's using a different. I'm saying she, but this might be a non-binary nigga. I can't really tell. And so this nigga is non-binary. So this nigga right here is there, you know, like she just, I just said she again, check me out. All right, I'm gonna run with it because I'm gonna take forever on the segment. So she just laughed. She said, I'm gonna change your nappy now, which in context my McMurrican ears says she means diaper. And it's like, yeah, to say, I'm going to change your diaper now, is that okay? That is not a horrible thing. That is not some over-the-top shit. But, of course, they call it lefty lunacy. Let's play it again.
I'm going to change your nappy now. Is that okay? Of course, the baby's not going to respond. Yes, Mum, that's awesome. I'd love to have my nappy changed. But if you leave a space and wait for body language and wait to make eye contact, then you're letting that child know that their response.
There we go.
Really? So that's the wacky lefty lunacy, ableism afoot. Yeah, like really? That's the big thing that everyone's bugging out on. And I'm telling you right there listening to this program, you may have seen that and scrolled past it, or you may have been like, okay, that's a little ill there. But see what happens when you actually just play the audio. It's a chill idea. I'm on board with it. I mean, I'm not going to have any offspring anytime soon, but say I did, or I'm going to change a nappy to help out someone that is raising offspring, I'm going to be like, hey, I just knocked over shit. I'm going to be like, hey, little nigga, you ready? You ready for a change up? You know, and then they might be like, ah, you know how fucking babies are. They're always, niggas ain't got no teeth, just smiling, just ah. Yeah, nigga, you know, and fucking and change their nappy. All right. Bing, bang, blam. But, you know, these fucking outlets, they know exactly what they're doing. They know people will not read the article for the quotes and they will not play the audio for the quotes. They're just going to look at the headline, see the purple hair and say, the left is going too far. This is why I left woke book. This is why I left book. Tacky ass shit, man. Tacky. All right. And that's all I have backed up in my personal show notes. I do want to hear what Phoenix Kalita has to say about the white man from the racist family with the black woman who basically just fucking up her life. I do want to know what Phoenix Kalita has to say about that. All right. So again, the wine cellar, we're going to be splitting things up a bit. And I'm just going to title this episode Wine Cellar 2019. You know, I think this is a fairly regular episode, talking regular shit, nothing really special popping off in this one. Well, actually, I'm looking at the clock. It's 3:49 a.m. I don't need to be at work until in the hour of 5. So maybe we actually can. Let's go over to the Wine Cellar Podcast Friends Group in the Facebooks. And see what, because I know Phoenix Kalita did a news dump, and there it is from December 23rd. Jesus Christ, there's 17 posts in here. What the fuck? We can't do that. But what do they have here? A cop blackmailed a woman for sex during a traffic stop. So a rapist cop. Woman dubbed Virgin Island Vicky spews her hate for niggers and loves Trump, which is really weird, because if you're going to the Virgin Islands, you know you're going to be around a bunch of black people and people of color. So, like, why go there? You know, that's odd behavior. All right, but back to this one. Rapist cop, normal cop, just like every other cop. And let me go ahead and try to make this the regular version. Because when Phoenix Cleater posts the links, it's always the mobile link. All right, so in Ashley, I don't know where this Ashley place is, but a borough police officer pulled a woman over and blackmailed her into performing oral sex on him to avoid being arrested, according to charges filed late Thursday. His name is Mark Eric Icker, a 29-year-old rapist of Dixon City. And he's facing misdemeanor counts of official oppression and using the threat of an official action after the Luzerne County detectives say he accepted the sexual favor at a secluded park late December 9th. The allegations are extremely troubling and disheartening, quote coming from the police chief David Fedorzik, quote, these allegations are in no way representative of the good work our officers do on a daily basis, end quote. No, this one just got caught. This one just happened to victimize someone that would come forward. All right. Fuck me. Let me see what happened here. Okay. I'm just taking a look here because my microphone came unplugged and I just want to make sure it wasn't unplugged for a long time. All right. So what I was saying before my microphone came unplugged was that, this is what cops do. And also in the Wine Cellar, we say all rapists are serial rapists. So this time he just raped someone that came forward. All right. And that's why, now think about like what happens, right? Like, if you make these stories bigger, if we make these rapist cop stories bigger, we can really knock the fucking lid off of this fucking very underground, well, underground as far as public knowledge of it, very normal activity of all cops. And all cops know their colleagues are doing it all the time. Because what happens, right? Like when someone's name blows up is like people coming forward like, oh, that person raped me. And then, well, here we go. Hashtag me too. Another person comes up, says me too. And then someone else is like, fuck, I thought I was alone in that. I was scared to say anything. Hey, me too. And then 30 more, me too. And you start doing that shit with these fucking cops, and it will become real public knowledge. Real public knowledge that will make the people show up at the steps of the politicians and demand real public policy. All right? They call it sexual favor. There is such a hatred. Like, why did white people even make the word rape if you refuse to use it? It's your word. It's your language. Use the fucking word. Rape. It's not sexual misconduct, sexual favor, sexual act, sexual assault. It's rape. You made a one-syllable word. Use your fucking word. All right. God damn it. According to this, the article continuing, according to the complaint, the woman spoke to county detectives a few days after the alleged encounter and appeared nervous and upset, saying she didn't trust the police and was concerned no one would believe her. So how many others that, I mean, and to talk to, I think, I don't know if she went to private detectives. I don't know. Probably. Which means she could afford private detectives. So how many people has he victimized that couldn't afford to talk to anyone? And they're just posted up traumatized now for the rest of their shit. So let's see. The woman reported that she had been driving along North Main Street when Icker passed her on the opposite in the opposite direction and then turned around. Icker pulled her over alongside Hazel Street at East Newport Street, she said. Icker told the woman he pulled her over for speeding and crossing the center lines, and after reviewing her documentation, told her he suspected she was driving under the influence. The woman gave him permission to search her car, and Icker handcuffed her in the back of his patrol car as he did so. After finding a bottle of pills, Icker warned her she could be arrested for driving under the influence because she was on prescription medication. He also informed the woman, who was free on unsecured bail in another case, that she would go to jail for violating her conditions of release if arrested. Quote, what can you do to help me help you? End quote from Icker, the rapist cop. The woman initially said she would try to be a better person and a better mother, but Icker repeated himself. What can you do to help me help you? All right. The article continues. The woman then thought Icker was asking her to do controlled drug buys, and she responded by saying she doesn't do drugs, according to the complaint. So she thought that he was trying to make her like a snitch, or, you know, like a, yeah, okay. So when Icker repeated the question a third time, the woman realized he was looking for sex. Rape. She told him she understood what he was asking, but said she didn't want to get in any more trouble by saying it, according to the complaint. Icker told her to speak freely, and the woman asked if he meant a sexual favor, in which Icker replied, quote, that's up to you. You see, this is a dirty, coercive motherfucker with the words he's using, because he's making it like he is falsifying consent with his rhetorical practices here. All right, let's say it again. He is falsifying consent, because is she not in hand shackles right now, being threatened to be thrown in a rape cage? Is that not the context of this interaction? Isn't he a cop? Doesn't he have a gun? So he has a gun and has her in hand shackles, threatening to throw her back into a rape cage because he found a bottle of pills. Yeah, he's falsifying consent. All right, let's keep it all the way greasy here. Now, so he says, that's up to you. The woman told Icker they could figure it out, and then he removed the handcuffs. Icker promised not to arrest her if she did a sexual favor, according to the complaint. Icker brought the woman to police headquarters and pretended to fingerprint her, then took her to a park along Conningham Street, where he directed her to perform oral sex on him. When they were done with him committing a rape, Iker brought the woman back to her vehicle and told her to call her boyfriend, whom she had been on her way to pick up. Iker got on the phone and explained that the woman had been pulled over, but she was not going to be arrested, and that she was trying to get her life back in order. The complaint says the boyfriend backed up the woman's account, and that Luzerne County's 911 records showed Iker stopped the victim at 11:51 p.m. December 9th and returned to service at 12:38 a.m. December 10th. During questioning, Iker admitted that that in exchange for the sexual favor, he did not charge the woman with driving with a suspended license, speeding, and driving under the influence. The magistrial, so that's like magistrate. This must be some bloody England shit. Magistrial district judge Thomas F. Malloy Sr. Arraigned Iker on the charges Thursday afternoon and released him on a $25,000 unsecured bail. A preliminary hearing was set for January 9th. Okay, so coming up in 1 week from right now, there will be a preliminary hearing on this rapist cop. The borough solicitor, William E. Valensko Jr., said that Iker worked as a part-time officer for the department, but that he is no longer on the schedule for upcoming shifts. And this is a quote from Vinsko. He said, Ashley Burrow has taken great pains to make sure that we have a responsive and dedicated police force, and we are going to continue to make sure that we address any situation which arises, especially when there are allegations of this nature, end quote. Iker's attorney, Bernard John Brown of Carbondale, said Iker voluntarily surrendered and is currently examining his options. All right. Iker previously made the news in 2013 when he was accused of stealing nearly $4,000 from a fundraiser benefit for a cancer patient in Wayne County, according to a report from WNEP-TV. At the time, Iker issued a statement saying he strongly and vigorously denied the allegations. Yes, all cops. All right? Fucking scumbag rapist. And again, that type of story will now be its whole own post. It'll be a podcast episode too. Keep in mind, these these shorts, these are not just for YouTube. Like when we do these shorts, like when we update that story, excuse me, that will go to the podcast RSS feed. But it'll just be short. Like, what did that take us? What, like 7-10 minutes? Didn't take us very long to cover that. But it'll still come in the feed where you can get it if you go in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or basically everything but Spotify. If you go to anything but Spotify and search The Black Podcast with Wine Cellar Media, then you're boom, you're gonna get it. And you just click subscribe and it comes straight to you. And private shit will go behind a paywall on Patreon. That's gonna be happening now. All right. Please, motherfucker, be as safe as possible wherever you are.